Some of you are going to find this a bit incredulous, but here's something that federal, state, and local governments all tell us to do that we should actually listen to. Eat more fruits and vegetables. You've heard about the health benefits of increasing plant-based nutrients into your diet, but how can you easily consume all the fruits and veggies needed? Well, it's easy. By adding grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity into your meals. Grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity is a power blend that has 31 fruits and vegetables in every scoop. Organic vegetables, super greens, super fruits, and super sprouts. It is fortified with essential vitamins plus an immunity boost. And right now, you can get a free 2-week supply of grown American superfood and essential vitamins plus immunity by just paying $8.95 for the shipping and handling. And not only that, you'll also get a free frother to quickly whip up your healthy and nutritious grown American drink. Go to grownamericansuperfood.com/John and order today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is the John Fugelsang Podcast.
This is SiriusXM Progress. Welcome to it. Thank you, Dino Badala, for being an excellent live lead-in. As always, I'm John Fugelsang. Welcome to Tell Me Everything, the little show here at the edge of what the fuck o'clock. And we are so glad you're with us for the next 3 hours. We're going to come at you with a lot of facts, a lot of empathy, and bring us all to the brink of feeling somewhat mildly entertained. Tonight, Bob Seska will be with us. The God Squad is here to take on Christian nationalism. And Dr. Tracy Pearson in the third hour solves all your problems. Tomorrow night, you don't want to miss it, because we're going to be doing the State of the Union coverage live with reaction from Max Burns and your calls. Plus, this coming Friday, we taped a very special interview today with Eddie Izzard, or as she's now known, Susie Eddie Izzard, which is very hard to say quickly. I learned that multiple times during the interview. The last time Eddie Izzard came on our show, she still identified as a man. Now she is doing a one-person version of Hamlet downtown, playing 23 characters. I caught it over the weekend. I'm a big Hamlet junkie. I could just go at Hamlet like normal guys talk about sports, and it is quite a conversation. She showed up wearing a miniskirt. It looks amazing. Short little black miniskirt and tights. I don't know if Thea Harper knows what hit her, but it was quite a fantastic interview, and we're glad to have you with us tonight. There's a lot of news we're going to get to. A federal judge in Texas ruled an agency charged with creating business opportunities for minorities must also aid white Americans. Another blow to affirmative action here in New York. Governor Kathy Hochul has decided to deploy the National Guard in the subways to try to curb violent crime. Riders will be subject to random safety searches or be denied access to stations. I wonder, what kind of riders will find themselves subject to random safety searches? Also, after 3 days of negotiations with Hamas over a ceasefire in Gaza, they have ended without a breakthrough, Egyptian officials have said, less than a week before the start of the Muslim holy month of Ramadan. Meanwhile, Donald Trump has said Israeli forces have to finish the problem. Yes, uncommitteds, I know you're disappointed with this White House, but Donald Trump can't wait to cheer on deliberate slaughter. Scientists have successfully created elephant stem cells in a laboratory setting, making us one step closer to our long-awaited dream of reviving the woolly mammoth, and France just became the first country to explicitly guarantee its citizens a constitutional right to abortion. We're at 866-997-4748, 866-997-GRIT. And you know, a Tennessee firm, it turns out, hired 24 children as young as 13 to work in meat processing plants, making them clean slaughterhouse kill floor equipment like meat saws and head splitters. And now the Department of Labor has sued to stop the firm, Fayette Janitorial Services, from exploiting kids, which makes me say, these damn illegals, are going to take slaughterhouse jobs away from our children. Folks, it is so good to welcome back to our show our executive producer and long-distance traveler, the great Chris Hauselt, who has been traveling overseas for the past couple of weeks. We realized today that I haven't actually spoken with Chris since February 20th.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff's happened since then. Chris, how was your trip? Tell everybody where you went.
It was, thank you, John. It was. I missed you guys.
Thank you. I wasn't listening before when you explained, so really tell all of us where you went, please.
I was in Belgium. I went to Brussels, Belgium, and then I was in London, England. Both for my first time in either of those places. I'm not much of a traveler.
Really?
Yeah. Hmm. And I'm a late bloomer. I'm a late adult traveler. But I loved it, and it was amazing. I saw a Premier League soccer match. I went to a protest where I saw French farmers burn tires in a pile. Drank a lot of beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope you shot pictures of all of this stuff. It sounds amazing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you went to, you were in Bruges.
I was in Bruges, which people tell me is also a film, but I have never
yes.
seen it.
And you haven't seen the film in Bruges.
No.
Wow. All right. You and your wife are going to have a really good time watching that one. And, okay. and it was your first time in London.
Yeah, I can't get over it. I liked London a lot more than I expected to. I think I went in with a little bit of haterade where I was like, let's see what this London's all about. And it completely charmed me.
Wow. Yeah, it's my favorite city probably in the world.
Yeah.
We missed you very much. Thea is amazing. She's a great boss. We really didn't miss you that much. We didn't miss you at all. I didn't notice you were gone, actually. It was better in a way.
Good. That's the way it's supposed to be.
We missed you deeply, and you got back just in time to have a twice-impeached, 91 criminal count indicted defendant liable for fraud and rape be the de facto Republican Party nominee. So welcome back at just the right moment.
I guess. I mean, I didn't hear anything while I was away, really.
So. That's my question. I was most curious, when you were away in Europe, how much of the day-to-day headlines of American politics made their way into your mind?
None. Zero.
So you were insulated from everything that happened.
Yeah.
And like the whole two plus weeks, you've been insulated from everything.
More or less, yes.
I'm curious, like, did you know the Alabama Supreme Court ruled that frozen embryos have human rights and their destruction is the same as killing an adult person?
Yes, but only because that happened before I left.
Okay. You know the U.S. vetoed ceasefire resolutions again. Did you know the FBI informant who was talking about all the information about Joe and Hunter Biden? It turns out he was lying and they jailed him and arrested him all over again.
Okay, makes sense.
That whole case blew up. Did you know an Air Force member set himself on fire outside the Israeli embassy?
I did know that. That's okay. The one thing that cut through the clutter.
What about, we almost had another government shutdown and it was kind of tense there for a few minutes.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I had no clue.
Less than 10 days ago, Biden was urging congressional leaders to avoid a shutdown. It went back and forth, and they finally came together and approved a spending stopgap to avert a government shutdown, kicking the can down the road again. Yeah, all these new things that have never happened before that you missed. Did you hear about Nathan Wade's former divorce attorney testifying in the Fulton County hearing over Fannie Willis's misconduct allegations because a powerful black woman got a boyfriend, and that's a bad thing?
No, I didn't hear that at all.
You didn't? They convicted the guys for killing Jam Master Jay 20 years ago.
Did they?
Two men were convicted of the 2002 killing. That happened.
Jesus.
Did you know about the Michigan primary, where 100,000 people voted in the Democratic primary for uncommitted to send a signal to President Biden that they were not happy about the policies regarding him? You didn't know this?
No.
My God. What about Mitch McConnell? You know Mitch McConnell stepping down as the Senate leader, right? You heard about that. Senate leader.
I read about it today, but I didn't hear about it at all when I was away.
Wow, that was a week ago that McConnell said, and then they ran it through the AI translation software, and he was stepping down. Yeah.
Good for him.
You know, the Supreme Court agreed to take the Trump immunity case, but not for 2 months.
No, I didn't know that.
So that trial is going to be quite delayed, and we won't know till the end of April if we have a king or not. Yeah. Biden can start assassinating in about 2 months. We'll know by then.
April? God.
The end of April. Did you know Hunter Biden testified before the House committees, finally?
He did.
Yeah, privately, yes. Put out quite a statement.
Do we know what he said?
Yes, he put out a statement that was blistering, and James Comer asked zero questions.
Hmm.
You missed everything.
Apparently,
my God,
I missed a lot.
Republicans, you know, go ahead.
I feel like Robert De Niro in Awakenings.
And that's what I was thinking.
You've just given me some political L-Dopa, and now I'm just learning about everything that happened in my life.
Tammy Duckworth had a bill in the Senate to protect nationwide access to in vitro fertilization treatments, and the Republicans blocked it because they don't want you terminating a pregnancy, and they don't want you getting pregnant either, apparently.
Okay, makes sense.
You know about Richard Lewis?
Yes.
That was a pretty rough one.
I reached out to you about that, yes.
You did, you did. I'm asking rhetorically for the listeners.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, well, I'm letting them know that I have a heart.
It was heartbreaking.
Yeah. We all loved him, though. It was great to watch the outpouring of love online for him.
Seriously. I mean, the guy got so much love at the end. You know, the military's been airdropping food and supplies into Gaza?
Our military?
Our military, because some Israelis opened fire on a bunch of people seeking supplies.
Come
and so
on.
We are now airdropping big stacks of food and supplies into Gaza.
Finally.
Most of the time it's landing on land, not always in the sea, which is nice. Did you miss that the CDC dropped the 5-day isolation guidance for COVID-19? Did you miss that?
Well, it's kind of my special thing. I was well aware of that.
Okay, I figured traveling you might. Did you know that the Supreme Court ruled that Donald Trump can stay on the Colorado and Illinois ballots? And that states don't have the right to... They're not into states' rights, it turns out.
No, come on.
You didn't know this. Chris, the liberals freaked out over this, and the conservatives were way too happy.
Look,
I'm fine with it.
I think more people need to go away.
You missed everything. You must feel as light as Johnny Depp does at the end of the day when he takes all that damn jewelry off. That's how light you must feel. Alan Weisselberg pled guilty. Alan Weisselberg pled guilty to perjury. Did you hear about that overseas?
He's still around.
He's still in Rikers. Vice President Harris called for a ceasefire at the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and then had the Israeli cabinet, a war cabinet member that Netanyahu hates, as her guest the next day.
Really? Like
Jake Teixeira pled guilty to the Pentagon leak on Discord.
Okay.
He's going to get 16 years in prison.
Right.
Liberty University, Jerry Falwell School, $14 million fine for failing to disclose crime on the campus, which is a nice way of saying they covered up rape. $14 million for the Christian University.
Oh, my God.
And the Stop Woke Act is unconstitutional.
What is the
three
Stop
judge?
Woke?
It's the White Fragility Act, and
okay.
And then Super Tuesday, and Kyrsten Sinema is leaving the Senate. Chris,
See, I knew there was something. When did that happen? When did she?
That happened yesterday. That happened yesterday. This is all the stuff that's happened since the last time I talked to you.
Can I tell you something? As my plane was flying over the Atlantic, somewhere around Newfoundland, a single ray of sunshine burst through a gray, cloudy sky. And I felt that something good had happened in the world. And I imagine it must have been this Kyrsten Sinema news. So
you may be right. And Bob Menendez was charged with obstructing justice in a brand new indictment.
Oh,
so,
well, anyone could have guessed that.
We had Dr. Phil on and did a town hall with a live audience that Thea produced.
I read about that in USA Today.
We got picked up in USA Today and Yahoo because, you know, he and I had some tussle over COVID. Sister Helen Prejean was on the show, who Susan Sarandon won the Oscar for playing in Dead Man Walking.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat down with Eddie Izzard today. Like, it's Chris, I'm exhausted. You went away and everything got crazy.
Yeah, I should go away more often.
Okay. Does it feel like you missed out on anything, or does it feel like you had a good mental health break from all the chaos that American media presents, and now you feel refreshed and ready to face the tidal wave of bullshit that this election promises?
I definitely was. It was really great to go away, and I'm not ready for the tidal wave of bullshit.
Oh, no. I'm sorry to hear that,
Chris. I don't think any of us
are. Well, the rematch that a lot of people don't want is here. And as of yesterday, the field has been cleared for Donald Trump and Joe Biden. They are now in the general election. It has begun. Trump won every Super Tuesday state except Vermont. He picked up a few hundred new Republican delegates. He's going to clinch the nomination probably next week. Nikki Haley won Vermont 50% to 46%, but she didn't show up last night. And of course, it was a good sign she was going to suspend her campaign which he did today. I was a bit surprised, but here it is. This is the hard truth Nikki Haley's supporter had to face this morning when the former UN ambassador suspended her campaign A1.
I am filled with the gratitude for the outpouring of support we've received from all across our great country. But the time has now come to suspend my campaign. I said I wanted Americans to have their voices heard. I have done that. I have no regrets. And although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in.
How the question is, how long until she endorses or even becomes the VP for the man she's been running against who calls her bird brain? CNN had some interesting exit poll data last night. And in North Carolina, 66% of Haley voters said that Trump is not physically or mentally fit to be president. 81% of Haley voters said that they're not going to be an automatic vote for Trump. In Virginia, plurality of Haley voters said they approved the job Joe Biden was doing as president. In North Carolina, 50% of Haley voters said they approve of the job. I mean, Chris, last week, Donald Trump came in, he won South Carolina, but only 59%. If Joe Biden had won South Carolina by only 59%, it's the only story we'd still be hearing. According to ABC News, 76% of Haley voters oppose a federal abortion ban. 60% support a chance for most undocumented immigrants to apply for legal status. And 59% of Trump voters say they're angry about the way things are in this country. Only 21% of Nikki Haley voters feel that way. He, of course, said very recently, anybody that makes a contribution, in quotation marks, to bird brain Haley, from this moment forth, will be permanently barred from the MAGA camp. We don't want them and will not accept them. Well, that's good. Way to alienate the voters in your own party that you will need to at least win the majority of your own party. Nikki Haley now faces months of endless questions about whether she supports the elephant in her party's room.
But this on this question, as she did on so many others, Margaret Thatcher provided some good advice when she said, quote, never just follow the crowd. Always make up your own mind. It is now up to Donald Trump to earn the votes of those in our party and beyond it who did not support him. And I hope he does that.
It's a nice way of saying my endorsement is for sale. And then Mitch McConnell woke up this morning and decided he'd announce he's endorsing a man who has been levying racist attacks at his wife for the last 2 years. I mean, the things that Donald Trump has said about Elaine Chao, who was in Donald Trump's own cabinet, but she's married to Mitch. So endless Asian jokes. And he endorsed Trump, even though hate each other. Here he is, McConnell, standing by his gelatinous, barely visible moral code when challenged on his newfound support for Donald Trump.
How do you reconcile your Trump endorsement with the fact that you called him practically and morally responsible for January 6th and the fact that he insulted you and your wife repeatedly?
On February the 25th, 2021, shortly after the attack on the Capitol, I was asked a similar question. And I said I would support the nominee for president, even if it were the former president.
Mr. McConnell, in April of last year, you indicated, you didn't really directly answer the question as to whether or not you were comfortable with Mr. Trump if he was in the middle of criminal trials and indictments, he was the nominee. I presume that means you're comfortable with him.
I don't have anything to add to what I just said. I said in February of 2021, shortly after the attack on the Capitol, that I would support President Trump if he were the nominee of our party, and he obviously is going to be the nominee of our party.
As Thomas Paine said, when a man is so far corrupted and prostituted the chastity of his mind as to profess things he does not believe, he has prepared himself for the commission of every other crime. Dean Phillips dropped out, spent millions of his own money trying to hurt Joe Biden, and said today, congrats to Joe Biden, uncommitted, Marianne Williamson, and Nikki Haley for demonstrating more appeal to Democratic Party loyalists than me. In a related story, Dean Phillips was apparently running against Joe Biden for the nomination. Colin Allred is going to be facing Ted Cruz. And, you know, then there's North Carolina. Keep this in mind. Biden lost North Carolina to Trump by about 75,000 votes 4 years ago. But now Democrats have hope that Joe might be able to flip the state this year. Last night, the Republican Party nominated a black man who thinks black people owe white people reparations for bringing the slaves over. And he's a Holocaust denier. And he calls LGBTQ people filth. And I predict Mark Robinson is going to drive voter turnout in North Carolina and 49 other states. But now that the race is narrowed to two, here is presidential historian John Meacham putting this election in a proper historical context.
This is like 1860. It's that elemental. That was a presidential election where we had to decide what was our, not just what was our difference about policy, what did we want to pursue about this or that, but what was our common understanding of human identity? Mm-hmm. It's that fundamental. And what Donald Trump has brought us is this elemental struggle between the rule of the strong versus the rule of law.
We got to get Meacham back on here and talk us all up a ledge every week. This election is sort of like 1860 in that Donald Trump just said in Richmond, he's going to take away all federal funds from any public schools that require vaccines. He said that. Barbara Comstock pointed out, like most states, Virginia, where he made the speech, requires the MMR vaccine, the chickenpox vaccine, the polio vaccine. So Trump would take millions in federal funds away from all Virginia public schools. Meanwhile, the best job market since the 1960s, the unemployment rate's under 4%, the highest level of insured Americans in history. Republicans should like the most oil ever produced by any country ever, and by far the best COVID recovery in terms of inflation of all G7 nations. That against we'll strip funding away from schools for requiring vaccines. Yeah, just like Lincoln Douglas. We want to know what you guys think. We're at 866-997-4748. We are so glad Chris Houshelt is back at the helm, and we'll be back in just a moment with the great Bob Seska and your calls right here on SiriusXM.
Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back. This is SiriusXM Progress. Shout out to Rand Paul, who earlier today said, we have to talk about cutting Social Security and Medicare. Please, Rand, talk about cutting Social Security and Medicare. Talk about it loudly and talk about it often. That you might achieve usefulness if you did that. Meantime, I'm going to the smartest player in the game. You guys know Bob Seska from the Stephanie Miller Show or Trek Politics or the Bob Seska Show, one of the best podcasts that deals with excellent music and dirty politics. He's a regular voice here as well. And then you can get bonus material at his Patreon, which is patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Bob, I'm sorry to have you here when we've got to have tearful goodbyes for Kyrsten Sinema and Nikki Haley. I don't know where to begin. Welcome.
Oh, I know. So sad, isn't it? I'm shedding a small tear right now.
It's terribly sad. It's very sad in a not at all sad and quite happy way. Yes, I completely agree.
Yeah. Kyrsten Sinema, I guess she's done with her cynical cash grab because that's what this is all about. This is running for Senate for the attention. For the social media clout. I think that's what she expected. And of course, naturally, we have shoved her out of the scene, and I think rightfully so.
I think she shoved herself out of the scene. Respectfully, I think she shoved herself out of the scene.
Yeah, yeah. Well, she only did it because literally every Democrat hated her. I mean, I don't know a single Democrat. I've talked to many, many Democrats in my daily life, and I've never heard a single Democrat say, hey, you know, that Kyrsten Sinema is kind of awesome. No one's ever said that. It's like Ted Cruz on the Republican side. No one ever goes around saying, hey, you know, that's Ted Cruz. He's a pretty cool guy. No one's saying that.
Nope.
You know,
no one says it. No one says it.
Next to Ted Cruz in the commissary. No one's saying that. And no one was saying that about Kyrsten Sinema. The only person who seemed to like Kyrsten Sinema was Joe Manchin.
Mitch McConnell and his donors liked her plenty, Bob. Let's be fair.
That's true.
Republican donors liked her a lot, so much so that I think one of the reasons that she has left us in such an untimely way is because they found out 2 months ago that her office spent $210,000 in taxpayer funds on private air travel, like private jets and such. Yeah,
there's
a lot of she was plenty thirsty. I loved her outfits. I thought her fashion style was great. I will not make fun of it. I found it a breath of fresh air. But what do you think her legacy is going to be beyond saving the filibuster and helping the kill, enshrining voting rights and reproductive rights and helping the double child poverty by not expanding the child tax credit and single-handedly getting credit for killing the minimum wage increase? Besides that, what do you think her legacy is going to be?
You know, I think her legacy is just going to be unseriousness. I think she was a frivolous candidate. I think she was a candidate who didn't take the job seriously for one second other than what's in it for me. I mean, there is, of course, a strain of that with every politician, especially at the national level and certainly on the Hill. But it's always kind of counterbalanced with a dedication to public service. There's always that altruistic, earnest side of being a member of Congress. And she didn't care about any of that stuff. She wasn't concerned at all about building coalitions other than with Joe Manchin. And quite honestly, going back to that, I would suspect that Joe Manchin is like, get away from me. Stop horning in on my action here. And maybe on a few occasions he was happy for the help. But other than that, she is not going to be well remembered in the Democratic Party. In fact, she's done with the Democratic Party. She will not be a player in Democratic politics ever again. She will not be taken seriously as a politician or anyone close. I mean, she may find herself on, you know, a network somewhere. She's probably already setting up her podcast at this point.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I don't know who'd subscribe to her podcast, to be honest with you. So, I mean, to me, she either goes for the career as the lobbyist or... it's Fox News. I mean, she's so tight with Tulsi Gabbard. Tulsi Gabbard's sister has been the PAC that has she's paid over $1.2 million to Tulsi Gabbard's sister's PAC. And Tulsi Gabbard's sister has no other clients. And it's all really sketch in terms of money. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised at all if she, sadly, being the opportunist she seems to want us to think she is, goes straight over to Uncle Rupert and gets a gig there on camera.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Tulsi Gabbard was sort of the proto-Kyrsten Sinema. She was, like, in on the cynical cash grab first. And, in fact, this week she was, I think she was on with Neil Cavuto or someone on Fox News Channel and said that, oh, she'd be happy to be Donald Trump's running mate.
Yeah. Wow. What a shock, huh?
It's, hey, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's what it's all about. It's all about the social media cloud. We've entered that age, that period of time in which people are just using national politics as a platform for other things. It's like Saturday Night Live used to be, where Saturday Night Live was like a stepping stone. You're there for a few years, and then you move on to movies or your own TV series. That's how they're looking at congressional service now. And it's a shame, because you need to take this job seriously, and you need to do all the things that are required of that, including building coalitions, including making nice with the people who dedicated their time and their money, most importantly, to getting you elected. And I'm not talking about the corporations or any wealthy PACs or anything like that. I'm talking about regular people who saw hope in Kyrsten Sinema and only to have that hope betrayed by her fuckery and inexcusable, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, the first Democrat elected to the Senate from Arizona since 1988, and she quit the Democratic Party.
That's right.
But don't you think, when you look at someone like Sinema, when you look at someone like Marjorie Taylor Greene, when you look at some of these deeply shallow politicians, this is where our culture's at. Like, the obsession with fame for its own sake has really destroyed a lot of our culture. Like it's not about being an artist. It's not about having a craft anymore. It's just about being famous. In comedy, it's not about, you know, crafting a set. If you have a big enough following on YouTube but have no stagecraft whatsoever, you can sell out a big room even if you don't know how to play to an audience. I mean, this seems to be the way our fame obsessed culture is going, and I just view this as a symptom of it bleeding into our politics as well.
This is where I see social media in particular as being a failed experiment. I'm not just talking about what's happened to Twitter, and that's a great example of it. But the algorithm is forcing behavior now out of people rather than being genuinely yourself. It's all about chasing the algorithm, sculpting who you are based on what gets the maximum amount of engagement, amount of reach. And I think with Kyrsten Sinema, it's either directly that or it's inspired by that. Like, it doesn't matter why I'm getting the attention, as long as I'm getting the attention. It's sort of one of the central tenets of Trumpism. Trump's all, he doesn't care if it's negative press. He doesn't care if everyone in the news media, everyone who follows the news media absolutely hates him. All press is good press as far as he's concerned. And I think with Kyrsten Sinema, it's very similar in terms of all attention is great attention. And so I think felt as though she could parlay that into more and more power for herself, only to realize, oh, God, I have to be likable. That has to be a component here to just regular people, to other Democrats. This is an important part of the job. And she completely failed at that. And now we see the consequences. One term and she's out. And good riddance.
Soon to be replaced by Democrat Ruben Gallego, it seems. But yeah, I think I call this the Kardashianification of American politics. You know, just
exactly. Well,
fame
said.
For its own sake. Well, what's your take on Nikki Haley? I kind of thought after hanging in this long, she'd hang in a little longer, even without the Koch brothers' money.
Yeah, you know what? She's kind of a question mark, though. I think the safe money is that she's going to endorse Trump. I think if she's going to endorse Trump, she'll wait and do it at the July convention, where she'll probably at that point endorse him and then pledge whatever couple of delegates that she has over to Donald Trump at that point in time, as being the tradition, as being important for party unity, such that it is. We're talking about a party that's basically just Donald Trump now. So the only unity they need is just a bunch of people to genuflect in front of Donald Trump, which seems to be the way it's going. Just a bunch of cuckolds just kind of dancing around whatever he wants them to do. Puppets, basically.
Right. Jesus
and so,
Christ.
Yeah. So I think eventually if Nikki still wants to be a participant in Republican politics, it's all about kissing the ring. It's all about she's going to have to endorse Donald Trump at some point. I hope she doesn't. I hope she stands strong. And I hope people like Nikki Haley, maybe not necessarily her, but people in her vein and that kind of thing where she's not necessarily into the Trumpism, but she's also a member of the Republican Party. I'd like to think that they will eventually start to grow their numbers and emerge with some sort of other party that will eventually replace the Republican Party. This current Republican Party has to die. It has to go away. It is incompatible with democracy. We cannot continue to have election after election where the stakes of the election is not whatever issue gets an established policy that turns into solutions. It's every election now is fascism or democracy. It's either we continue to elect Democrats. I mean, that's the central thrust of the Democratic Party right now as a bulwark against fascism. You'll talk about something that, what does Joe Biden want for the future? What is his message for his second 4 years? Well, I think it's primarily got to be, I'm standing up against the forces of authoritarian fascism in this country. And that's an important and noble thing. I mean, that's maybe the most important thing other than the climate crisis that we face right now. It's those two dueling things in contention for which is most important. So I think in that regard, it's a thing that I think Joe Biden is running on. And I think it's an important thing for us to support. But I mean, getting back to my original point, we can't continue to have elections where if we make one wrong move, if a handful of people, a couple of percentage points here or there in this district or that precinct goes the wrong way, suddenly we're falling off the cliff and there's no bottom. It's just absolutely insane. And we can't continue on like this. The Republican Party has to go.
I mean, I don't see it ever going. I think that they have defined themselves as the party that gets, I mean, to me, you know, they're the Wall Street party, they're the oligarch party, and they've had a successful scheme for 40 years of running politicians who are intensely anti-abortion. And yeah. That's how they get Christians to vote for the golden calf, year after year after year. These folks who believe Christianity means criminalizing abortion, they're not going away, Bob. They're always going to have a home together. And that's why I don't think the Republican Party will ever. We thought the party would fall when Bush and Cheney destroyed it. We thought it would fall when Trump destroyed it. But I think that core constituency has been groomed for 45 years to believe something that's not religious, but they believe it with cult-like fervor. And I don't see any kind of reality moving it.
Yeah, we have had in the past, and again, we're in a new paradigm now with the way our politics are and how divisive they are. But in the past, we have had party realignments, whether it's new parties coming in to replace old parties or the platforms completely reversing themselves. We always got to look at the political parties as sort of the housing into which you put policy. So it's like if you imagine a strip mall, all kinds of different businesses go into that mini mall, right? And it changes over time. That's kind of how you could look at a political party. So where the Democratic Party in the 1860s looked more like today's Republican Party because, of course, the ideology shift. I don't need to explain this to you. But I mean, as far as the Republican Party being replaced by something else, it may just be some form of takeover by a more moderate wing of people, maybe as a response to some sort of national event, world event. Stranger things have happened, and we've had this ongoing lurch toward extremism and fascism in the Republican Party. And I have to think that either this all goes away, and I'm talking about the American experiment, or something happens with that Republican, you know, the core values of the Republican Party shifting from authoritarian fascism to something that actually people will support. Because you get Trump out of the way, I mean, you take him out of the equation, I think you're going to have a lot of people who are like, okay, we got to pull back on this a little bit. Everyone's going along with the Republican, whatever stands for the Republican platform at this point, because Donald Trump is so, you know, charismatic for these people. And you get him out of there, and then maybe they'll start to see some sort of alternative as far as softening the platform a bit so they can start winning elections again, because they're not going to be able to continue winning with Trump around, as we've seen with, God, every election's, I mean, he lost the popular vote in 2016. So even if you include that, every election since 2016 has been kind of a losing proposition for this Republican Party. It's a matter of time before they realize, oh, crap, maybe doing this Trumpism thing is not winning us any elections. We have to start winning outside of the deepest red areas. And that will require, I think, a shift in their positions.
Nikki gets credit for all the fantastic opposition research and ads she cut for the Joe Biden campaign, right? We can agree on that. She was, I mean, she and DeSantis really made it easy for this campaign. They did a lot of the legwork. Bob, I got to ask you about something. Trump bucks. Trump bucks.
My favorite story this week.
And I haven't covered it yet on the show, but I find it fascinating. I mean, I find it just so fascinating that Donald Trump found yet another scam. The man from Trump University, the man from the Trump Foundation, found another way to rip off his own supporters. What can you tell us about the Trump bucks thing? Because I've honestly been just... I mean, to me, it just seems like an incredible overdose of metaphor. But these people invested in this thing, Trump bucks, because they were told it'll increase in value someday, these souvenirs. And some of these MAGA folks actually took these trinkets into banks to try to get their cash value. Did this really happen?
Yeah. Shocker that Trump supporters are a bunch of suckers, right? I mean, this isn't specifically Donald Trump doing this. I think there
are three
separate separate companies. I think they're probably run out of that same place in Wyoming that runs the Trump sneakers. It's probably that one kind of, I guess it's getting a reputation for being a corrupt town in Wyoming where a lot of scam artists set up shop there. Maybe it's out of that. I don't know where they're originating, but there are three separate companies who are distributing what are called Trump bucks, where you actually buy fake money.
You buy fake
Monopoly money.
Like props, like it's got a picture of Trump on it, and they advertise it like it's the golden ticket that's gonna you real patriots have to support him, and you'll get rich when it's cashed in. And this one guy told NBC he bought $2,000 worth of these, and then only discovered they were worthless when he tried to cash his play money with Donald Trump's face on it at his bank.
Right.
I mean Darwin explained this, Bob. Darwin was very thorough on this, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, it's, I mean, the fake money looks like something you buy in Spencer's Gifts next to the rubber poop and the blacklight posters. You know what I mean? It's that ridiculous looking. And yeah, that guy, there was a story about one of these suckers, these Trump supporters, going to their bank and completely dismayed when they couldn't deposit the Trump bucks into their bank account. And it's like, oh, suddenly they're now realizing, oh, maybe this Trump guy, maybe he's scamming us all. But they're not even realizing that, because as we've observed this for a long time now, whether it was Donald Trump himself or Fox News Channel, people like Glenn Beck, when he was on Fox News Channel, have borrowed the style of the tent revivalists and the faith healers.
Fleece the faithful.
Yeah, and they use the same techniques. In fact, Donald Trump now, I mean, we're sort of getting away from the Trump bucks, but what Donald Trump is doing now with his rallies is really kind of sinister. And he had a particularly obnoxious short circuit during his Saturday rally in North Carolina, where he completely glitched out and his face actually contorted, and I think his right eyeball was about to launch right out of the socket. It was that harsh a short circuit.
Yeah.
But he was right in the middle of him doing something that I think is far more dangerous than the short circuit themselves, or the short circuits he keeps suffering from. And that is, toward the end of his rallies, he plays this almost hypnotic bed music. It's like sad. Like, you remember Mike Tyson used to enter the ring with just the one note playing, an E minor, just the one note playing.
Yep.
It's sort of like that, with Trump just going through, in a somber tone of voice, his list of grievances. And they're everything from shit about immigration to on down the line. Probably pronouns are in there too. And maybe things about airplane peanuts. I don't know. It's the water out of the, no water comes out of the faucets. But it's in that somber tone of voice, like he's hypnotizing his audience. And it's really kind of sinister. He's using all the techniques that you would use as a cult member to kind of convince people to it's like a heightened form of suggestion.
Cult member with people who appreciate the work of Leni Riefenstahl. Let's not leave that detail out. Right. I mean, and then this is after he talks about how what a bad job Obama's doing all the time. Like, you know, Bob, I got to say, a lot of progressives and a lot of our sane Republican friends are all talking about Donald Trump's really clear and scary cognitive decline and his mental lapses on the campaign trail. And all I have to say to those liberals and conservatives trying to raise the alarm about Trump's mental state,
it's not a bad idea, my friend.
Long 8 months. Let everybody find out as the campaign becomes more universal to Americans. Let the world see. Let the
absolutely
world see.
Yeah, and more and more people are starting to notice. I noticed on Drudge Report this week. I mean, I came from Blogosphere 1.0. I mean, going back to the, you know, just the immediate post 9/11 era, where we were all talking about George W. Bush, and Drudge Report was right there in the middle. I remember Mark Halperin saying, "Matt Drudge rules our world" in the political news media. The other day, he had above the Drudge Report logo, the big banner headline was, Donald Trump slurring words and saying crazy shit. It was something like that. It was like something along those lines. And it was about what Donald Trump did at that North Carolina rally, where he short-circuited, must have been at least half a dozen times during that thing. And so that was pretty telling that Matt Drudge was on this. And I, you know, usually expect something in their concern trolling about Joe Biden. But I was so glad to see that it was Donald Trump doing that. But the thing with Donald Trump and cognitive decline in his context is that most people, when they're in some form of cognitive decline, are kind of humble about it. They don't they don't get angry at people around them about it. Donald Trump, on the other hand, is, as he goes, I think he's going to get crazier and more obnoxious as this worsens. I know I shouldn't be saying it out loud. I know.
Let Trump be Trump, Bob. Let Trump be Trump.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I hope that works. We'll see. We'll see. If more Drudge headlines get published like that, the rest of the news media will come around, because even though it's been a long time that Drudge has been around, and I still think that a lot of people in certainly the D.C. press, Drudge Report is in their rounds every day as they're clicking through different websites and social media. Matt Drudge is right in the middle of that. So I think there's an influence there. I hate to be in this weird position where I'm going, yes, I hope more people are looking at Matt Drudge. I never thought in a million years I would say that.
I'm a nostalgia freak, so I love any website that has the same font and layout they had in 1994. Mr. Seska, it is such a pleasure to have you with us. How do our listeners follow you, sir?
You can find my podcast everywhere you get your podcasts. It's called The Bob Seska Show, and also on Patreon at bobseskashow.com.
That's great. I love your podcast, man. You keep me sane. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. We'll be right back in just a moment with your calls at 866-997-GRIT.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
This is SiriusXM Progress. I'm John Fugelsang. Welcome back. I got to get to the God Squad because they've been waiting on hold. Keith Giles is a former pastor. He left the pulpit to follow Jesus. He's the author of the best-selling Jesus Un book series. He's a regular contributor to the Patheos Progressive Christian blog platform and co-owner of Choir Publishing. Keith, welcome back.
Oh, John, so good to be back at the God Squad, and I know we're going to have a great episode here.
We have so much to discuss tonight. These Christian nationalists have been working overtime. Dylan Cruz is back. He is a writer and a theologian in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. His book, Theological Musings, Volume 1, is a terrific collection of essays covering political, social, and environmental concerns. We are always thrilled to welcome Mr. Dylan Cruz back to the show. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, it's always a pleasure, John.
Thank you. And finally, last but not least, people of Earth, whether you're ready or not, December Rose is the former pastor of the Restoration Center in Greenville, South Carolina, and the Rock Worship Center in Western Union, South Carolina. She is the author of The Church Can Go to Hell, a jaw-dropping menu and theological dive into the toxic reality of church culture. She's also a dynamite spoken word artist, spreading the gospel of grace through love, truth, and radical hospitality. Pastor Rose, it is great to see you. Welcome back. I need you to unmute, my dear. I need you to unmute. We got you. Great. Hello.
Okay. I don't know what's going on. Technology is screwing with me today.
It's probably something I did. Don't worry. Pastor Rose, let me begin with you, because I got to say, my hope is that the Republican nominee for North Carolina Governor Mark Robinson, I hope he becomes the most famous batshit fascist in America over the next 8 months. We have 8 months to use this guy to drive up voter turnout in all 50 states. And I've been dying to kick off the hour by asking you how you feel about this new bright shining star for Republican politics who thinks black people owe white people reparations. He thinks
that. You call him a bright shining star. I ain't sure that those are the adjectives that I would have strung together for this brother right here.
Well, I have a sarcastic birth defect.
We have a saying in our community that all skin folk ain't kin folk. Mm-hmm. And what that means is, I don't know what planet this man dropped down into Earth from, but he ain't my people. because this man said on the news, I heard on the news today, that this man said he wants to go back to the time when women couldn't vote. And I thought to myself, fool, your black ass could barely vote at that time. How you want to go back to a time where you couldn't vote, where you would never have been, you would never be a nominee for anybody's party. You would barely be able to walk on the same sidewalk. You sure in the hell wouldn't be able to eat in the same establishment, and nobody was going to hand you a mic, vote for you or anything else. And the people all that are surrounding you that are cheering you on in this foolishness would have been calling you a grown man. Well, probably past your 50s, probably got a wife and some grandkids running around somewhere, would have been calling you a boy, and you would have had to take that shit.
Yep.
Where did you come from, and where are you going besides hell?
Well, I mean, it seems like he thinks he's going to, I mean, if you'll pardon me for using the expression, it seems like he really thinks he's got a one-way ticket to, as they say, sleeping in the big house. However, this man is a Holocaust. Yeah, well, he's a Holocaust denier. He's someone who has called LGBTQ Americans filth, and he thinks that women should lose the right to vote. I think Republicans should nominate more men like this, because that's going to drive turnout of young people, non-white people, and anyone with a IQ over room temperature.
Listen, if the Democratic Party was smart, they would tag this fool to every advertisement, every promotion, every marketing, every run in every city on every channel. They would put him and Trump together on everything they could do if they were smart. This is their useful idiot.
That's right.
Okay.
I want to make him famous.
This is them. He's their poster child. They need to make a poster. You remember the posters back in the day of the basketball stars and the R&B stars? I don't know if y'all were into that, you know, where I come from, with the UNTV Braps, and you take the posters out of the magazines and put them up on you. They need to make this clown the poster child for the entire Republican Party.
I love it. I can see Ed Lover and Dr. Dre talking about him right now. Yes.
Right now on the couch. Yes.
Keith and Dylan, I want to open this up to you as well. I want to see this man become extremely famous in the next 8 months. I think I owe Herschel Walker a huge apology after listening to one of his speeches. But I think this man deserves to be the face of the modern Republican Party. What do y'all think?
Dylan? Well, it's more and more mainstream with Republicans, the things that this clown is saying. I've heard Candace Owens say the exact same thing.
That's right. That
she's rethinking this whole idea about women shouldn't get to vote, because the head of the household, the man, should vote. And this gender complementarian horseshit that conservatives and Christo-fascists really love to hang on to. But the Holocaust denial thing is what is truly horrifically egregious. Read a fucking book, man.
Hang,
it's the most well-documented Holocaust in history.
Yes, but staple the entire party to him. Everybody running as a Republican should have to say whether they believe X, Y, and Z that he has said, just like every Republican running should say if they believe government has the power to force American citizens to be pregnant by rape against their will. They've all got to give a stay on this. And if this man's going to be the GOP nominee for North Carolina, let's take the temperature of every candidate on Holocaust denial.
Which he believes. He believes that too, by the way.
Absolutely.
He made that statement.
Keith, any thoughts?
I'm flabbergasted. I got to say, I can remember when I was kind of just getting out of high school and Ronald Reagan was running, and I was a conservative. I was voting straight ticket Republican, you know, listen to Rush Limbaugh and all that stuff. But man, when I see what the Republican Party has turned into today, relatively short amount of time, it's flabbergasting. I really cannot believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so extreme. It's so ridiculous. I mean, you mentioned Herschel Walker. And again, I thought like that guy was so embarrassing. You'd think they would not want a repeat of that kind of candidate. But here we are again. I just don't get it. I don't understand it.
You don't understand their contempt for African-American voters? Because that's what it is, right, Pastor Rose? This is them saying, hey, black voters, we have one of yours. You'll flock to us now. Look at the color of his skin and don't listen to his offensive opinions. That's what they keep doing.
Throw him in the goodie box with the tennis shoes and the indictments and everything else Trump think is, enticing us. And Trump had the nerve to say that this man was Martin Luther King
On steroids.
And I thought Martin Luther King probably rise up out of his grave and slap the taste out your damn mouth.
Thank you.
Because they are nowhere in the same realm. They're not. Martin Luther King wouldn't have had shit to do with this fool.
No, this guy would have been reloading. He would have been reloading James Earl Ray's weapons for him. Go ahead.
Yeah. What did he say? Something. He said the civil rights movement was. There was something he posted, and Martin Luther King represents the civil rights movement. So yeah. I don't know how they love putting, our heroes in their mouth to misappropriate them.
Yes.
That man and MLK don't even belong in the same breath, let alone in the same light or sentence.
I agree. But I think it's great. I think it's going to motivate so many people to understand it's not about voting for Joe Biden. It's about voting against this toxic, batshit, anti-American movement. And speaking of toxic and batshit, I want to bring up really quick Liberty University. Jerry Falwell's mm-hmm. Pride and Joy, founded by Jerry Falwell, a segregationist who opened whites-only schools, who supported apartheid in the 1980s and urged Americans to buy Cougarons to support apartheid. He made this college that has all this inexplicable credentials and left it to his son. We all know how good a job Jerry Falwell Jr. did monitoring the school when he wasn't frolicking with his wife and the pool boy. They have been fined $14 million. And the headline we keep getting is failing to disclose crime on its campus. The real thing is they covered up rape. This mm-hmm. private Christian university, and they've been selling themselves as one of the safest campuses, and they're being fined $14 million for covering up rape. Keith, I know you have thoughts on this one.
Oh my gosh, yes. Again, sadly, this is nothing new. If you haven't noticed yet, evangelical Christian organizations and institutions are so good at hiding and covering up their own sin while criticizing and politicizing the quote unquote sins of other people. As an example, by the way, when I saw this story, what it reminded me of was back in 2019, the Houston Chronicle did this expose on the Southern Baptist and the largest Protestant, organization, mm-hmm. And found out that they had a list of 700 offenders. These were pastors, youth pastors, worship leaders. Over a 20-year period, they knew about it. They covered it up. There were over 100 Southern Baptist youth pastors convicted and charged with sexual assault. And the Southern Baptist Church harbored and protected sex offenders. So, that's already happened. That's already been documented, right? We know that's happened. And now this happens with Liberty. It doesn't shock me. It's disappointing. And I'm wondering when Christians are going to wake up, evangelical Christians are going to wake up and realize, I'm sorry, your kid is in more danger in an evangelical Christian church or university than they would be at a drag reading or something at a library.
Yeah. And Dylan, the most sinister thing to me is they covered it up for money. They covered it up because they sell themselves in their literature as having a safe campus. So mm-hmm. rather than address it and go public and try to solve the problem, they tried to cover up the rapes because it might impact the amount of money coming into the school if parents didn't feel safe sending their daughters there.
What's that thing that the Bible says about the love of money? Somebody remind me. Oh, yeah, it's the root of all evil. Uh-huh. It's not just money that's evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil.
It's true.
And the Falwells are profoundly rich people. Mm-hmm. with the grift that they've had going. And I read that article, and the thing that struck me was they immediately tried to deflect and say, we're being unfairly targeted. This is that Christian persecution complex that happens in American fundamentalist and evangelical circles that says any kind of pushback at all is persecution against mm-hmm. us because we're Christians. No, right. It's because you're fucking covering up sexual abuse. And there's a fantastic account. She goes by Bex, B-E-K-S,
yes.
On Great. Twitter. And she just goes through and shows all of these Republicans, many of whom are conservative Christians, who are being adjudicated, arrested, and imprisoned for, guess what? Sexually assaulting people, usually children.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they can cover a lot of things up, Keith, but very often they can't cover up what's on their hard drives.
Yeah, sure. That's right.
I want to ask you about this Missouri bill, Keith. I hadn't heard about this, but this new bill would make it a felony for anybody to provide gender-affirming care to a child and brand those people as sexual predators for life. Now, I had Dr. Phil on the show just last week, and I had to remind him that the American Medical Association, the American Psychiatric Association, and the American Academy of Pediatrics all say that gender dysphoria is real, and they all recommend treatment for young people with gender dysphoria. They don't demonize puberty blockers, things like that. The experts all do this. So presumably this bill would try to brand the American Medical Association as a sexual predator?
Yeah. So this could be a school counselor. It could be a doctor. It could just be a teacher. Anybody that provides any kind of resource, advice, anything, you know, to counsel a student, and any kind of gender affirming care, 4 years in prison, $10,000 fine, and you're branded a sexual predator the rest of your life. You have to register as a sex offender. And, again, this is, I guess, Missouri. And again, when I saw that headline, I was like, what? You got to be kidding me. And when I dove into it, it's like Missouri apparently is in a, I guess they want to beat Florida and Texas, you know, to see how backwards they can be and how uncomfortable they can make it for families with trans children and LGBTQ children. And so I think this is like the 30th bill or something that's been introduced in Missouri. They're really going after it, really trying to pass this kind of toxic legislation. And I got to say, it's like, again, a very sad example of government overreach by MAGA conservatives who want to legislate reality to conform to their delusional ideas of normal or Christian or whatever. And here's the again, we say this all the time. This is not Christian. This is not Christ-like, right? Because the truth is, and we've said this before on this show, Jesus embraces people who are non-heteronormative. Jesus affirms in Matthew 19, 11 and 12, the validity of a eunuch who is neither male nor female. Jesus says, in fact, he says in that passage.
He gives three categories.
Yes, he does, right?
Yeah.
And but he says, after he gives those categories and he mentions eunuchs, he says, not all of us can accept it, but he who is able to accept it should accept it. And so, again, I've said this before, too.
Unreal.
But Christians in America, I feel, strongly need an Acts 10:28 moment. That's where the Apostle Peter finally gets it through his thick skull after three different times the Holy Spirit is trying to show him this vision. That he as he says in his own words, Peter says, God has shown me that I should not ever call anyone unholy or unclean. And so, you know, you can make fun of Peter for being hard-headed and, hey, it took him three tries. Christians in America, evangelical Christians in America, it's going to take a bigger miracle than that. But I hope it happens. I hope it comes because people are getting hurt.
Yeah. Pastor Rose, you know, I have the same rule for comedy as I have for Christianity, which is you don't punch down. And yet, time and time, I mean, in comedy, if you're beating up on the marginalized people, beating up on someone weaker than you, it might be funny for a second in a club if you're drunk enough, but it's going to make you feel dirty. You can't attack those weaker than you. And it's the same in Christianity. I'm not even as brilliant as Keith is. I'm not even sure if they're doing this for any kind of religious reason. I think they're doing this because the cruelty is the point, and they know that there's a certain kind of Christian that will vote for them if they are cruel enough to the least of these.
It's all power. It's all about power. If you think about it, a bully, their whole ambition, their whole whatever that's driving them is having power over someone else. And I consider the Republican Party a big bully, a policy bully, an ideology bully, a culture bully, whatever you want to put there, a religious bully, a relationship bully. Whatever it is that it governs, makes us who we are, they want to be the bully in the room. No, you don't have a right to do that. You don't got a right to see that. You don't got a right to hear that. You don't got a right to feel like that. You don't got a right to love that person. You don't got a right to believe like that. Every facet of our lives, they want to be the bully in the room.
Yeah.
Because God forbid you make me feel uncomfortable. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's all about, you know,
white heterosexual fragility.
They say resistance is futile.
Yeah.
It's all about assimilate. And if you look back over history, like I said, Trump has not created a new thing. All he did was expose an old thing. If you look back over history, it has always been that way. When they brought us over here from Africa, can't speak your language, can't do your religion, can't do, you know, you need to flush everything out. You can't do anything. When they did it to the Native Americans, they took those people's kids, they put them in those schools, they raped and abused those kids. You know what I'm saying? And the whole point of it was, we're all barbarian. You know, we're savages. We're trying to bring you into civilization. And they're still on that same page. They're still on that same shit. This ain't no new shit. They on that same old shit that they was on when they was back colonizing.
Dylan,
and
we got to hit a break.
They can't just put people on the cotton field. They're colonizing the ideology. They're colonizing the culture. They're colonizing the faith. They're colonizing relationships. It's still the same old shit. New century, SOS. Same shit.
Dylan, we got to hit a break, but do you want to weigh in on this before we do?
Yeah, just real quick. Last Wednesday, news broke here in Lancaster that a local trans man had completed suicide. Mm. And he was beloved by his family. They did everything right. He was beloved by his community. They did everything right. But being trans in America is so fucking difficult because of people like these folks in Missouri that the weight of the hate overwhelmed him. And we lost a beautiful soul named Ashton Clatterbuck, who was only 22 years old, because of these kinds of fucking people.
The same people.
And our community is in mourning.
And these are the same people who can't stop talking about liberty and freedom. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
So these kind of people need to know that the fruits that they are producing, and Jesus said, by your fruit you will be known, is death and hatred. And it's putrid and it's fucking rotten.
We have to take a quick break. We will be right back with your calls at 866-997-4748. This is SiriusXM Progress.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey. Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We are joined by the brilliant Dr. Tracy Pearson and taking your calls. And Tracy, I want to get to some of the riffraff on hold, but before I do, I want to ask you about an important legal issue, and that is this Don Henley lyrics case. I got to admit, I've only been following it peripherally. I was like, what are they going after Don Henley for? Is something he did in the 70s? Okay, it's not a Me Too, then I don't need to lean in on this. What was this case all about?
It wasn't against Don Henley. It was about basically there were these two collectors that purportedly were allegedly scheming to try to keep the handwritten lyrics from a number of songs that he wrote. And
including Hotel California, which gets a little bit of airplay.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's an important one here. And so it had gone, he had given it to somebody to help him write a book or an article or something. And then it had managed to get out of that guy's hands and into some auctions. And Don Henley has sort of been strategically buying these things up because he says he didn't intend to have that happen. And that he didn't give them to anyone. And so what happens is this trial's been going on for a bit. And what happens today is that the charges were dropped in the middle of the trial. And the reason for that is because Don Henley and his lawyers were sort of refusing to give over 6,000 or something like that emails of between the two of them, between the two parties. So Don Henley and his lawyers. And they finally decided to hand them over. And consequently, the prosecutor said, well, we can't in good conscience go forward with this because a defendant has a right to review discovery. So they dropped the charges.
Yeah. So imagine if you were like a rock and roll super fan who actually sells memorabilia and Don Henley comes after you? I mean, wow, I would feel terrible as a fan if that happened.
Yeah, I mean, it brings up lots of really fascinating issues that someday we should spend lots of time talking about.
Well, they brought up details of his personal life from the 70s in this trial. Like, they were really, it was getting ugly there.
It was getting ugly. It was, you know, did you even remember what you were doing then? How would you even know that you had handed this stuff over and what you intended? I understand the concern. Don Henley has been sort of one of these champions of making sure that artists get paid.
Yeah.
And so this is sort of in line with his ethos. But it is it's all wonky, this idea that you would buy something, you know, you're a bona fide buyer thinking that you're purchasing something when in fact, you know, it was something that was loaned to the person that then gave it to the auction house. So folks really need to pay attention and make sure that if you are into that sort of collecting, that there are certificates of authenticity that come with it that also show basically a title trail, if you will, for who owned it and who authorized the sale of that item. Because otherwise you might find yourself in one of these situations where somebody who has a lot of money can, you know, push on some levers and get you charged with a crime, or you could be sued civilly for stealing somebody's property. And, you know, somebody like Taylor Swift, who has also been a tremendous force in trying to protect artists and their money and their intellectual property. You know, I mean, she's an example of sort of this new generation of artists that really are focused on not being abused by a system that is making money off of them.
I hear you. Let me go back to the phones. We have a lot of people waiting. Oh, Don Henley's here. No, he's not. Let's go to Bill.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
On line three, Bill in New Jersey. We have two Bills from New Jersey on hold. Bill in New Jersey on line three. Welcome. You're on Sirius XM Progress. Hi, Bill. On
Hi,
Biden's
Bill.
Accomplishments.
Hey, John.
Hey.
You guys got me thinking of the Glenn Frey episode of Miami Vice there. Smuggler's Blues.
There you go. Only the classics.
But, I wanted to talk to you about a deep dive I've been doing the last couple of weeks, going onto the comments section of the New York Post, and I mean,
oh my
deep
God,
into the backwater cesspool.
Oh my,
dude, you wear a hazmat Trump suit when you do that? How do you do that exactly?
Oh
Are
my
you
God,
it's like over when the you top.
It's over the top rope, WWF style. It's like me against 10 people at a time.
Yeah,
it's great.
Wow. Okay,
but. But the thing is, they've got their own reality.
You're checking your blood pressure, right, Bill? Like you're checking your blood pressure.
Yeah. And I've
okay,
got
so,
heart
okay.
issues, so
okay.
It's fun stuff, but you try to. I'm there. I tell them I'm there to educate, but it's not getting.
Well, they love
through.
That. Yeah, they love
and
that.
And I'm wondering good. How during the election, Biden's going to get through when you got Trump saying that he had the most gas production ever, when we know that's not. Like at the top of the show, John, you said we've come back from COVID. We've got the litany of accomplishments.
Right now, America is producing more oil than any country ever has in history. And it's going to be interesting seeing how much Biden wants to campaign on that and how much he doesn't, because that's the sort of thing that they might say to try to push away some of the disinformation, but it's not going to endear him to his own base.
Well, it's like Rachel Maddow last night breaking into Trump's acceptance speech on Super Tuesday and saying, okay, you know, yeah, that's enough. You know, we've got to at some point stop this because it's one rat-tat-tat from Trump, you know, his stream of consciousness, you know, of a gnat. And one thing after another, you can't keep up. What is it that you call it?
What the fuck fatigue. I call it what the fuck fatigue.
Yeah. Fact-checking. You can't fact-check it in real time as fast as he's doling out the bullshit.
Yeah.
Gish gallop.
That's what, a gish gallop, where when you're correcting lie number one, lie 40 has already been told.
But when you think about the campaign we got coming up, and what I'm getting out of this New York Post comments section is just disinformation after disinformation. And
you already knew that. I mean, you already knew that. That's like the, you know, the basement of Rupert's media empire. You already know how nasty it's going to be. I'm worried about you and your heart, my friend. You gotta go and spend some time over at a Daily Coast or something and balance that out, Tracy.
Yeah, I'm also mindful of the fact that half of those people aren't real. There are ops being run on us right now as John.
Oh, there's ops on social media, Trace. There's ops on social media, but yep. I'm convinced the New York Post comment section is 100% organic matter. I've been there myself.
I've been there, but I still think that there are ops there, and they're putting it out anywhere they can, anywhere that they can get into. And so don't spend so much time there. It's my point.
I try not to. It's just really to loosen up my fingers for the day's work from home.
Nice, man. Nice. I understand. Stay healthy and get a hazmat suit next time you do it. Thank you for the call, Bill. I want to go over to line two to Lisa calling from New Mexico. Lisa, thank you for waiting on hold. You're on Progress with Dr. Tracy.
Hi, John. Hi, Dr. Tracy.
Hey. What's up?
So I have a plan.
Please.
You're going to like it.
Tell me.
Okay. We go KGB CIA style on them, all right? We all go out and we say that, hey, I voted for him in 16 and 20. But listen, I can't vote for a guy that shits on America all day, every day. And then we do that, and they believe
that. That requires context, which our MAGA friends are not fans of.
Well, you can't argue facts, but you can just be like, hey, he's shitting on our vets. Like, I think it would get through.
But you understand, they watch Fox News. They don't know how much you shit on our vets. They are insulated from these facts. They will think you're crazy. If you tell them that Donald Trump admitted Barack Obama was born here in September 2016, they will think you're lying because they've never been told these facts.
Well, wait, I mean, shit all over my plan, John.
Well,
I think she's got a plan.
I don't want you to get hurt, love. I don't want you to get hurt by these people. Go ahead, Tracy.
No, I encourage her. I mean, we need to do more than just vote for Biden. We need to help him get elected, and she's at least got a plan. So she's got points from me. But
yeah,
the idea that this idiot is on TV and he's on Fox talking about how America is a third world country. Now, my first question for you is, why would you want to be the president of one?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't think. These folks don't think.
24/7. That's my point. Point that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Tracy. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, Lisa.
Now I'm a bastard, but I like your idea. I like your idea, Lisa. I let me know how it goes, because I try this all the time. And when you say that Trump has been so derogatory to vets, they don't know. You got to go giving them a lot of facts, and they will deny every fact. And you'll cite the facts and say, here. And they'll say, well, that's from CBS. Well, that's from ABC. Well, that's from the New York Times. Oh, BBC. Oh, The Guardian. No one. Like, they are in a cult. Facts work about as well as morality on these folks. So good luck. I'm right there with you. And if I can ever support you, let me know.
Report back.
Please do. Thank you, Lisa. Stephen in Kentucky is on line four. Good God, Stephen, you finally got here to the rescue. What's on your mind? Hello and welcome.
Stephen, how are you, my friend?
Oh, I didn't think I'd get picked. I just kind of happened upon here. So,
okay.
I'm doing all right. I'm not going to say very much, because it seems like today, whatever I say, people just want to disregard what I have said.
Oh, Stephen, I don't believe that. I don't believe people disregard you. That's nonsense.
I do believe it. That's why I don't call very often these shows anymore, because I get tired of, you know, my opinion matters too. And as a matter of fact, since I pay the salaries of these people just as much as you do, then I think I do have something to say. And what I have something to say about is,
I love putting you on the air, Stephen. I love having you on our show. Tell me your thoughts, please.
Well, I don't know. I don't trust anybody nowadays. I really don't. I've gotten to this point. I think the Supreme Court's a sham. I think these damn primaries are a sham. And to be honest, I can see why Trump's doing so well, to be honest, because nobody wants to listen to anybody. These polls are reflective of that. People have been saying they do not want another Trump-Biden rematch. And what do they do? Earlier on, they nominate the two old bastards. That's exactly what I'm talking about.
It sounds like some both sidesism there, Stephen. Do you think these two old white men are exactly the same? Do you think they represent the same agenda and policies?
No. Don't you do that. I'm not saying they're the same. But I am saying, you know what? I think here that people are more motivated by power. And I do think that's partially true in this case. And this is what I'm going to say about this. Because the fact is, you want to do something right. I said before, and I wrote to Biden, actually, and I've also talked to the White House, and I've also talked to Eric Swalwell about my concerns and Zoe Lundgren about this. The fact is, this age issue is still hovering over Biden. You all can sit there and play fool's paradise all you want to, but you know what?
Stephen, is there something we've done to offend you? Because you're being a bit more confrontational than usual tonight, and that's not how you usually treat people.
The last time that I called, I don't appreciate being dismissed. That's what I don't appreciate. And I feel
how are you dismissed on this broadcast, Stephen? Stephen, I've put you on our airwaves literally hundreds of times. How are you dismissed, sir?
I'm talking about this year. I'm talking about in this election cycle.
Stephen, I'm asking you to back up the accusation you levied at us. How were you dismissed on this program, sir?
Oh, really? I'll tell you how I was dismissed, because I had the courage to actually express some concerns about Biden. I didn't say that I didn't like the man. I said that politically, this continues to hover over him. And
right. We talk about that topic every night.
Everybody wants to act like everything's lollipops and roses when it's obviously not.
Okay, so we didn't do anything to offend you?
I just hope to hell that bastard does not get in there, Donald Trump. He is an Alzheimer's victim. We all know.
Stephen, it's so easy to make me feel guilty about things I've done. Tell me what we did that caused this rancor towards us.
What you did. You said
no, you didn't.
You dismissed me the last time I said something.
How did I dismiss you, my friend? How were you dismissed?
Oh, because you treated me in a very you said it in a smart ass tone. You did for one thing. You just dismissed what I had to say, and you acted like, oh well, in such a cavalier fashion.
Any specifics tonight, Stephen, to help jog my memory on this? All right. Well, listen, I'm really sorry to disappoint you, and it's a pleasure to have you on the air. And I'm sorry that I'm sorry you have such an unpleasant experience on shows. You keep calling over and over again. We love having you here. And if you remember what
that's
I specifically
why I haven't
said
called very much, because why waste time? People don't care what you have to say.
Well, you know what? This has been an absolute pleasure, Stephen. Thank you. I don't always get to see family to be berated for no reason. So I thank you for these vague insults.
Well,
and it's a pleasure to hear from you.
I berated you for the reason. Okay. And yet you want to sit there and dismiss it.
Right. No, Stephen, I'm not dismissing myself. I'm rejecting your rudeness to me, because I don't think I treat you that way. And you have not said anything I said that was in any way unpleasant or rude to you. If you're going to accuse me of things, I need you to back it up with specifics. OK, I got nothing but love for you.
He said good day, sir.
You know, he said good day, sir. Well, I get nothing. I lose. I stole a fizzy lifting drink. Tracy, I'm sorry you had to see that kind of white on white violence. Are you OK?
I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you for asking.
Okay.
I do agree that people don't listen, but it's because, you know, they think they know what they're talking about.
I'm sorry, I totally spaced. What were you saying? Stephen, we love you. We gotta go. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Thea. I'm John Fugelsang. Keep it tuned to SiriusXM Progress. Peace.